Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department's Chief Information Officer. Steve, in many ways, this is a return engagement for you here on Ask the CIO. In many ways, this is your first time back. Let's start with welcome back.
Well, Jason, first of all, I just want to thank you for giving me another opportunity to chat with you and with your listeners. The key thing in this case really boiled down to our secretary, Secretary Penny Pritzker. I do enjoy public service, as you know, and as a number of my colleagues know. I honestly didn't know that much about the Department of Commerce. I'd interacted during the course of my former career and roles with the larger bureaus in commerce, but many of the smaller bureaus, I'm embarrassed to admit, when I came on board, I didn't actually know they existed. I didn't know, for example, that the Bureau of Economic Analysis inside Commerce is the group that actually produces the GDP numbers. I thought those came out of the Department of Labor. So I was a little bit embarrassed, and it's kind of funny, a little bit of a reflection on my ignorance, I guess, in that vein. But when I interviewed with Secretary Pritzker, it was very, very different and just a wonderful conversation between essentially a private sector CEO and a private sector CIO. That's what it felt like. And it was such a refreshing type of conversation that I really honestly just decided on the spot, you know, I'm now going to be disappointed if I'm not selected. I'd love an opportunity to work with Secretary Pritzker and the leadership team that she has built in the relatively short time that she's been with the Department of Commerce.
Well, you only were out of government for a few years, but did the government change that much in that short amount of time? I mean, you can go back to your days at Homeland Security Department and say, wow, the government has changed a lot in those 11 years. But in your short time from FAA coming back to Commerce, was there a lot of change?
Now, here's the interesting thing that I would observe. I was gone not quite a couple years when I retired from the FAA. But if I look back over 15 years, going all the way back to the White House and Department of Homeland Security for me, in many ways there are, I believe, some continuing positive changes in government. I think that the government is getting better and better, and I know there will be some who don't agree with me, but I think the government is actually getting better at innovation. I also believe that the government is getting better at leveraging technology and technologies, particularly with regard to the delivery and analysis of information, which, of course, is near and dear to most federal CIOs and our colleagues and teams. I've seen positive movement in government. Now, at the same time, stepping back into commerce, it's kind of like I feel, whoa, wait a second, this does feel a little bit like the DHS days. I still think there are very legitimate challenges with IT acquisition, and I mean no offense to any acquisition professionals out there. I just don't think that we've made much progress in moving from buying stuff like hardware and software to buying IT as a service. I think we still have a lot of room left to grow. I think GSA is doing some really neat things in the acquisition environment, so I'm following that and working with them very closely. I think the government is still slow to change.
That's interesting you bring up the acquisition challenges, because there has been this move from, obviously, products to services, and then this whole move of, oh, how do we buy services? And I think we'll get into this a little bit more as we talk about your priorities, but before we do that, let's talk a little bit about your role as CIO and how you support Commerce's mission. Based on the previous conversations, I know you're a big strategy guy, you're a big thinker guy. Does that still apply today here at Commerce?
Yeah, absolutely, and I would say even more so. And the neat thing in my conversation with the secretary and with the deputy secretary and with our assistant secretary for administration, my role as a CIO stepping into Commerce, honestly, I thought I'd like died and gone to CIO heaven. First of all, stepping in the door, I have a seat at every major business table. We've used that phrase before. What I mean by that is I'm part of the Secretary's Operations Committee, which is kind of a highest level operating committee that meets on a very regular basis to address all of the major challenges, policy issues, whatever's going on in the department. And I have the CIO has a full seat at that table. I sit as a member of the executive management team, which is the highest governance level body in the Department of Commerce. I am, along with the CFO, we are ex officio members of the department's management council, which is the second highest governance body, and it's populated by all of the senior-most career deputies, mostly deputy undersecretaries, deputy assistant secretaries, folks in the bureaus across commerce. That seat at the business table makes a phenomenal difference. It's an incredibly positive type of situation because I'm sitting and I can listen to policy discussions. I can be part of strategic discussions, and I bring the advice and guidance around how we can leverage technology and technologies across the entire department to achieve all of the multiple missions of the bureaus of the Department of Commerce. So I view my role as very strategic, but at the same time, each of the CIOs in the bureaus, along with myself, also have mission delivery and operational requirements as well.
What's interesting about your role specifically, and I've talked to a couple of people about this, is the Commerce Department made a decision to bring you in as a political appointee versus a career official. And for many years, the Commerce CIO has been a career official. Do you think you're at the table because you have that, if you will, political hat on versus the career hat? Or I want to go back to something you said earlier, which was fascinating, is that when you had a conversation with Secretary Pritzker, it felt like a private sector CEO talking to a private sector CIO, and that's why you have a seat at the table.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that her very considerable private sector experience gives her a very broad understanding of how technology can be a strategic enabler. If you look at our Commerce Department strategic plan, which she drove and she was instrumental in guiding shortly after she came on board, technology and information technology underlies all five of our major strategic pillars. That's pretty neat. I do think that there is an advantage in my being a political appointee. And as you know, I've served in both a political appointed role previously in my career as well as a career role when I was at the FAA. So I've been in both those types of situations. In this case, I believe and understand from what I was told coming in the door that the decision to make this CIO role, whether it had been me or not, this wasn't done for me. I want to be very clear on that. A decision has been made. I think it was really to what I was told. It was to drive the speed with which they could move forward. They did not want the position to stay vacant for very long. And given the time frame from when Secretary Pritzker came on to roughly the end of the current administration, you had about a 3-year time period. She has a lot of goals and objectives that she'd like us across the department to tackle. So I think shifting to political does two things. It speeds up the selection process, but also it allows me to have conversations with the political leadership in a way that's a little bit different, not negative. And I don't want to imply anything negative to any of my comments, or I don't want your listeners to hear anything negative. But sometimes there is an advantage if I, as a political appointee, can have conversations with other political appointees that sometimes, depending on personalities, you may not always be able to have from a career perspective to a political appointee perspective.
It's interesting. It makes total sense because when I've talked to people like Roger Baker, who was one of the few political appointed and Senate-confirmed CIOs, he was over at VA for several years, he would say, I am the only one that does this. I have full budget authority. And he would say that makes the whole world of difference. And I think from your perspective, coming into Commerce, Commerce has some very big bureaus. Census is a big one. Patent and Trademark Office is a big one. And to have that political clout probably does help you in some ways, too, that people maybe who aren't political, may not realize the benefits, and you having kind of worn both hats during your career understand that.
Yes, I would agree with you. I think your statement is accurate, and I think a lot of us envy Roger when he was over at the VA, because there was no question that his ability to kind of have the entire budget, so to speak, really can help tremendously when you are trying to guide or lead change.
Yeah, without a doubt, I think that's something that the Congress recognizes, and that's why we have the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA, as one way to get toward that goal. Steve, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk more about your priorities and what are you going to do with all those governance and challenges. My guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, your host. My guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Steve, before break, we're talking about your reason to come back to government, your role as CIO at Commerce. Let's jump in. What are your priorities? What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
These center around three directives that Secretary Pritzker gave me when I agreed to come on board and walked in the door. The first was to fix the operational problems in the Herbert C. Hoover Building now. Now, let me translate what that means. There were some operational problems in the services delivered out of the office of the CIO. These mostly were a result of long-term underfunding of infrastructure, hardware, and software. So that literally there was equipment supporting, for example, our major network, networks plural, some of the subnets, and some of the servers supporting applications like email that were reaching end of life. And I mean actually reaching end of life. That's a bit unusual in my experience in the federal government. Not pointing the finger at anybody, but for a lot of various reasons, that investment was underfunded. So equipment literally was beginning to fail on an unpredictable and too frequent basis. As a result, people were getting frustrated in headquarters before I came on board. And the secretary's direction, fix the operational problems, that's what she was referring to. An example, email would periodically go down. And I do understand that a few months before I came into my role this past June, email actually went down for a full day. And so you can imagine the disruptive impact that that has on a cabinet department. The second was the way she phrased it, Steve, figure out a way working with the Bureau CIOs to be more effective and collaborative in support of the Department of Commerce strategic goals and objectives. Now that translates in a pretty straightforward way. But I think what might be helpful to some of your listeners, the Department of Commerce is a highly federated department, more so even than the Department of Homeland Security, in my opinion. Each of the bureaus, and we've got 12 of them, has a very distinct mission. Our overarching goal in the Department of Commerce is to foster American economy, commerce, and the support of businesses worldwide. But there isn't significant overlap in any of those missions. So, for example, if you are in the Patent and Trademark Office and you are working in the workforce to kind of review and approve patents and review and approve trademarks and things like that, frankly, that has very little to do with, for example, over in NOAA, weather forecasting from the National Weather Service, or it has very little to do with export controls in the Bureau of Industry and Security. And it has less to do with a lot of the census work that our Census Bureau does. So you get the idea. You know, this is not anything that is other than simply the way that the department was put together. And each of the bureaus does, I think, in the short time that I've been here, a phenomenal job of carrying out their respective missions. But think about infrastructure from a CIO perspective for a minute. One of the things that obviously OMB has been pushing and a lot of federal CIOs have been working to move to infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. Okay, now we actually do have an opportunity to be collaborative. We can share certain services. We can actually work together. That's what the secretary was after when she said, Steve, working with the Bureau CIOs, can you guys figure out a way to be more effective and collaborative across information technology and its use in support of commerce's goals and objectives? The third is the one that honestly, personally, I find the most exciting. And that was very simply, she said, and can you figure out a way to bring the department into the 21st century? Now, that one's kind of a fun one. What she really was saying was there are things that, that she sees when physically she walks into other bureaus and other agencies and other departments across government. Some that I'm sure you've walked into. If you walk into the Ronald Reagan Building, for example, which is home to a number of federal agencies, you see kind of the use of modern technology. It kind of hits you in the face. You see plasma screens. You see access points that are visible, and the little, you know, blue light or green light is busy flashing or something. So there are actually visual. There's visual evidence that people are using more recent and more modern technology. The Hoover Building, which is our headquarters, is a phenomenal building, and it's beautiful inside. But when you walk in that building, honestly, you kind of it looks like you're walking into the 1930s when the building was built. But all I'm trying to convey is that it isn't evident that we are leveraging state-of-the-market or state-of-the-art technology as appropriate. This is also where the strategic aspect that I thoroughly enjoy and that's been a large part of my career comes into play. And we're responding to that even in a very short period of time. We've actually, working in collaboration with the Bureau CIOs, we have actually put together and published the first Department of Commerce IT strategy document. It's not a full strategic plan yet. We'll be tackling that in the next few months. But we actually have... And we've done it in alignment with the Department of Commerce strategy goals and objectives. We've identified major initiatives that are aligned with those strategic goals and objectives, and we've set forth, we think, some challenging and in some cases aggressive objectives and timeframes that we believe we can achieve for the Department of Commerce and its bureaus through effective collaboration.
All right, so a lot to go over there. Let me jump in and back you up a little bit, and let's try to figure out some things. Okay, first of all, let me go back to number one, operational problems, Herbert Hoover Building. Obviously, this is something that comes that is related to objective number two, which is enterprise services, shared services, if you will. The email thing, has that been fixed? Let's start there.
Email has effectively been fixed. We enlisted our colleagues from the Patent and Trademark Office, very talented group of folks. They stepped in, they helped us out, and we have effectively fixed our email problems for the time being. We need to complete the upgrade and replacement of a lot of hardware. We're on track to do that this fiscal year. And assuming no unforeseen circumstances intervene, we will actually, by the end of the year, achieve full email stability. Part of that has been done by moving to email in the cloud.
Tell me a little bit more about that, because I know, for instance, NOAA was the leader in that when it comes to commerce, and they picked Google. When I've talked to others in commerce before, the PTO CIO, for instance, a couple months ago now, he told me that I think you guys were looking at Microsoft Office in the cloud. Where do you stand from the CIO's headquarters perspective?
We have successfully migrated the Office of the Secretary and some of the smaller bureaus that we support to Microsoft Office 365 in the cloud. That's actually completed. Likewise, most of the other bureaus, with the exception of NOAA, are moving to Microsoft Office 365 in the cloud. Now, while occasionally there are some synchronization problems around calendars, I'm sure that anybody out there who has kind of received a Google Calendar, you know, invite and you accept it, sometimes, most of the time, it works and it's accepted into your Outlook environment or vice versa. But every now and then you get a synchronization problem and it goofs up a little bit, ends up in the wrong time slot on your calendar. Notwithstanding that, we have agreed that we can peacefully coexist. In other words, there's no legitimate business driver that I can identify where I would kind of have a conversation with Zach Goldstein, who is NOAA's CIO, to say, hey, Zach, you guys are the only bureau out there. You know, why don't you consider migrating over to 365? No reason to do that. They've got a very solid, successful implementation with Google in the cloud. The rest of the bureaus are moving very successfully, and pretty much we're a little bit behind schedule, but the good news is we're working smoothly now, and we're moving on a revised schedule to migrate the remaining bureaus to Microsoft 365 in the cloud, and we'll be fine. We don't anticipate any major issues. We really don't even anticipate minor issues in that peaceful coexistence.
All right, that's good news. And the other piece of that, as you mentioned, was the infrastructure, some of the infrastructure as a service or platform as a service or some of the just the technology itself. Are you consolidating data centers? I think Commerce, if I remember well, had already consolidated a lot of data centers. You only had a couple. Or is it now just a matter of moving either A, into the cloud, or B, just updating the boxes themselves?
It's really mostly the latter. Commerce has done, I think, a very, very good job in data center consolidation. They've been at it for a while. The bureau inside each of the, certainly the four largest bureaus, Census, PTO, NIST, and NOAA, and then even some of the smaller bureaus, had already done a lot of very good work over the years in consolidation of data centers. The neat opportunity, and this is where collaboration again with the Bureau CIOs is actually going very well in a relatively short period of time since I've been on board. We are definitely looking at continued movement to the cloud, and we absolutely want to go after moving most of our infrastructure services as we work it out, and as we will do this, you know, very carefully, and we want to do no harm. We'll use program management, and we'll use a lot of our skill collectively to do this quality with speed. But we do want to move our infrastructure environment to the cloud. And when I say the cloud, what we're really saying is it most likely would be a government community cloud. A lot of data that the Commerce Department produces, we publish. So it's not as if there's, you know, extremely sensitive data. Classified data is not part of this conversation. So just set that aside for a second. But for example, our weather data and a lot of our anonymized census data, we publish. And we publish more data than any other federal agency. We're proud of that. We're going to continue to do that. And we're going to grow our data sets. But what we also recognize as the CIO community is, look, increasingly, infrastructure is a commodity. It's much like a utility. Okay, if you think about it, the utility model fits infrastructure services increasingly well with the advance of technologies. What we really want to do, we want to let, and we'll do this through shared services, we want to let industry provide that to us. As we move infrastructure to a service and as we move to the cloud, I think for the near term, we'll be in a government community cloud. I don't think that we're going to move to a public cloud. But there's nothing negative in there. I think this will be a positive step. As CIOs, we actually want to do this within the next, I'm going to say, 12 to 24 months. We'll actually have real things that we're moving out there.
It's a good roadmap that you're setting for my listeners and obviously for your bureaus more importantly. Steve, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about goals 2 and 3. My guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. Steve, before break, you went through your three directives from Secretary Pritzker. You went through Directive 1 in more detail. Let's jump into Directive 2, which I know you kind of tagged into a little bit, the effectiveness collaboration to support commerce goals and objectives. A lot of that does deal with enterprise services. Talk a little bit about where you're at with enterprise services.
Okay, we have a major shared services initiative underway. It's being sponsored by our Assistant Secretary for Administration, Ellen Herbst. And it is jointly being guided by four work teams or work streams, if you think of it that way, across finance, HR, acquisition, and IT. We're moving toward achieving true shared services in the sense that whatever services are identified by each of those work streams, we will then most likely, and we haven't done this yet, but this is where we're headed, we'll get there probably, I'm going to say maybe in Q2, well, at the end of Q2 and into Q3 this fiscal year. So we're making very good progress. But the idea will be for those services that we agree are viable and could be delivered through a shared services set of providers, we'll likely create an organization inside the Department of Commerce that then would be tasked with the responsibility go select those providers in each of the four functional areas and manage, put SLAs, service level agreements, in place, put appropriate metrics in place, and ensure the successful quality delivery of those shared services. It's a neat thing. I think we're pretty jazzed up by it, and the CIOs are very, very supportive. The interesting thing about the CIOs, I wasn't sure kind of stepping in where the individual bureau CIOs would be on this. They all agreed very quickly, hey, we're all for this. This allows every CIO to let go of the commodity IT stuff that honestly is essential, but adds no particular unique value to mission delivery. This is kind of network services. It's a lot of the stuff that's behind the screen. So it's stuff that people know has to be done, but much like a utility, they don't feel they have to do it. What was interesting was is that everybody said, hey, I'm in favor of this. I'm in. I absolutely will participate. But nobody wanted to be the shared service provider. That's perfectly okay. So what we came to consensus very quickly was, that's fine. We'll go to industry as our service provider. And that will work, I think, very, very well. So as we move this forward, and this is a heads up to industry, we are going to be coming out, but it will probably be in a yet-to-be-determined way, either joint with some of the other functional areas, or maybe because IT is not necessarily unique or different, but because of its complexity, we may kind of bring that out separately. That's yet to be determined. But we'll be coming out toward the end of the year with kind of an RFI type of approach to industry to get their insight and their guidance back to help us out.
And just to be clear on that, Steve, when you're talking about you go out to industry, meaning I'll use the dirty word, outsource maybe the running of the HR services or the running of the acquisition services, not necessarily the whole kit and caboodle, but somebody will come in and run those systems, that make the stuff that under the covers work.
Yes. In essence, think of the transaction world. So wherever there are, high volume transactions and there are functions that are pretty straightforward, they're very, very important, but they're not necessarily unique to any bureau. Everybody, for example, has to hire people. Everybody needs infrastructure to run or host their mission delivery applications on. Everybody needs email, which is an enterprise type of solution, and we've already talked about that. So, for example, think data centers. We don't need to run our own data centers. We could certainly go to industry and let industry host all of our infrastructure in a to-be-determined data center, as long as it met the appropriate security and regulatory type of requirements, FedRAMP certified, so forth and so on, so that we can properly manage risk to the department and its bureaus. What's also kind of neat about this is that we've been able to move rather quickly. Let me give you a real example. We will be coming out a little bit ahead of our full shared services reach to industry that I was talking about. The CIOs have said, hey, you know what? It would be great if we could maybe pilot one of these services and learn from it. We could learn and test different governance models. We could kind of test metrics and performance and managing our vendor, that type of thing. So one of the services that we have identified that we're going to come out a little bit ahead of the larger commerce shared services request will be video teleconferencing and audio conferencing. Everybody uses it. Nobody particularly thinks it's very sexy. It's very, very helpful, particularly to our field offices, in having conversations, in reducing the impact of travel, and frankly, in saving taxpayer dollars when done well. Okay, so we are going to be coming out to industry in a little test case to say, okay, we want real services. Who out there would be willing to provide, on an as-a-service basis, video teleconferencing and audio conferencing to all of the Department of Commerce?
One thing that stands out is when you said each of the bureaus, there'll be four bureaus maybe who will run, or maybe not four, but some bureaus will run these shared services from a governance perspective, from a service level agreement perspective. So should someone look for this RFP, RFI, from a specific bureau, or will they all come from the Commerce Department itself And then it may say in the solicitation or the RFI, NOAA's running this or Census is running this.
Yeah, let me clarify, because if you heard it incorrectly, then I'm sure your audience did too. None of the bureaus will be the shared service provider. Let me repeat that. What we've agreed internally, the CIOs, none of the bureaus, forget the four largest, forget any of them, we will only use industry as a provider of our shared services. That industry provider, whether it be IT services or HR services or finance services or acquisition services, will likely be managed by a yet-to-be-determined organization inside commerce.
No, I understood that's where you're going. I was thinking more about if I'm an industry person looking for this RFI or RFP, where do I find it?
Yeah, it'll come out. First of all, I'm pretty sure that everything will appear in FedBizOps one way or the other, or other vehicles. Now, if we choose to go through, for example, GSA vehicles or like Alliant or Alliant Small Business or NIH with CIO SP3 or something like that, then it still, at least I recall, should still show up in FedBizOps, and it'll be under the Department of Commerce, not a particular bureau. And it should also then be available to any awardees. They'll get notified of the opportunity. Because our intent, honestly, is to go full and open. That's our thought process from the CIOs at this point in time, simply because we'd love to hear what industry thinks. Now, there will also be lead time. So we'll come out with a request for information first, even on this little video teleconferencing thing, to say, hey, guys, this is, guys being industry, this is what we're up to. This is what we're currently thinking. What do you think? What did we miss? What did we forget? What would you like us to know? That feedback from industry, as you know, will inform us, Commerce, and the CIO Council. We'll then do refinement with our acquisition folks, and we'll come back out with a request for, I'm going to call it a request for services. Now, I'm doing that deliberately. I know from an acquisition standpoint that it will probably be the equivalent of an RFP. But what I'm actually trying to differentiate here is we're trying to think differently in commerce. We really are trying to figure out, look, how do we go procure, acquire IT services as a service? We're working very closely with Barry Berkowitz, who is Commerce's senior procurement executive. Barry is a phenomenal guy. He's also part of this dynamic leadership in the department that I found stepping in. He and his team are stepping up, and they're really trying to help us with, hey, here are some ideas, here are some ways that we may frame this. So everybody is really still trying to figure out, how do you acquire IT services as a service? And that's what we want help with from industry as well.
All right. Something to look out for in the coming weeks, coming months. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into maybe a little bit of cybersecurity, maybe more priorities. My guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and my guest today is Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. Steve, we're talking about your main directives, one and two. Let's get to the third one. And this is, very simple, very strategic, very broad, it seems like. Bring Commerce Department into the 21st century through technology. Talk a little bit about how you're doing that.
One of the neat things that we've done, we being the Bureau CIOs in the CIO Council, myself and my deputy CIO, Isella Dornell, together, we've actually guided the development of a first-ever enterprise transformation roadmap. This is a 75-page document, very talented work done by an integrated team with representation from all of the bureaus, the CIO community. In addition to this document, there were two documents produced, very, very good work under my predecessor, Simone Zickman. One was called the Rapid Peer Assessment. This was the CIOs and the deputy CIOs taking a look together at the state of IT in the department. They addressed both the office of the CIO as well as enterprise solutions and Department of Commerce potentially shared infrastructure that we've already talked about. And they brought forth a series of recommendations, excellent recommendations that have provided input into our enterprise transformation roadmap. That second document, in a similar manner to what I just described, was done by the Bureau CIOs and their staffs to formulate recommendations around the full completion of the Department of Commerce's enterprise architecture. Frankly, we're a little bit behind where I'd like to see us be. We're in pretty good shape, and I think we get pretty good marks from OMB. But we recognize that the difference between full compliance with the OMB guidelines around enterprise architecture and then truly operationalizing enterprise architecture is not quite the same. So we're after, and we have, recommendations from this second document that are addressing operationalizing our enterprise architecture. So if we now combine those three bodies of work, we've got a really good dynamic framework for moving the department into the 21st century. I'm very excited by this, and I think we're off to a terrific start.
Very interesting. Now, obviously, a lot of that stuff people will be interested in. As you said, you'll do your best to make some of it public when the time is right, when necessary. Can you give us a little bit of a sense of what maybe some of those either recommendations are or what some of those plans are, even at a high level?
I sure can. Let me give you a very real example that we've actually already begun working. One of the things that, in discussion with the secretary and the executive management team, we want to bring wireless fully into everything we do, secure wireless, clearly, into everything we do in the Department of Commerce. I would argue that that's truly moving into the 21st century. You know, that combines mobility, it combines aspects of security, and we may add a little bit more detail to help your listeners in a moment here. But what we're really after is, if you walk into the Hoover Building, Commerce Headquarters today, there are places where you can't get a signal, either on your cell phone or on your iPad or whatever. Now, we have guest wireless, but it's limited, and kind of only if you're hosted can you get access to it. We want to change all of that. We actually want to move to an environment where you, and again, I'm talking about the unclassified space in this discussion, you can do anything and everything you need to do. You can get access to any information, any data sets, any applications that you need via a mobile device. That could be a tablet, that could be a lightweight laptop, it could be a Chromebook, not that I'm endorsing a brand, but simply to give your audience a feel for what type of device I'm talking about. It could be a smartphone, although the screens still, you know, don't lend themselves to a whole lot of intricate transaction work. But you get the idea. This is absolutely doable with technologies today. We absolutely can secure it. And this is where we, the CIO community, want to go.
Steve, we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, let me just check in real quick about some cybersecurity. You guys recently stood up your Enterprise Security Oversight Center. This seems like we'll have a pretty big impact across the Commerce Department. Just give us the latest on that effort.
Yeah, this is a big deal. We call this our ESOC, as you correctly said, our Enterprise Security Operations Center. This is out in Fairmont, West Virginia. We are co-located with NOAA facilities. It's a very collaborative relationship. They're also assisting us with watchstanding across the entire department. This is a big deal. We brought up initial operating capability, first time ever in the Department of Commerce, over the January 1st weekend. We're operational. That allows us to move very, very close to real-time situational awareness. We've got sensors embedded in several or most of our bureau networks. Those sensors are now connected to and feed our ESOC. It puts us in a much, much better overall situation with regard to detection of any types of threats and vulnerabilities. As we continue to move to full operating capability, which we expect to achieve in FY15, will add additional capability in terms of software tools, diagnostic tools, forensic tools, in addition to people power. We're adding some skill sets, particularly in the forensic analysis area, and particularly in the ethical hacker space, that simply moves the Department of Commerce very much forward with regard to our ability to fully comply and deploy the NIST framework around cybersecurity.
All right, sir, sounds like we could talk a lot longer, but unfortunately we are out of time. But at least for our audience, they can ask you their own questions Thursday, February 4th at 1 p.m. on federalnewsradio.com as you take part in our free online chat. So we thank you ahead of time for that, and we look forward to continuing the conversation online at federalnewsradio.com. For now, Steve, we will say goodbye and thank you. My guest today has been Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. Steve, thanks so much for taking the time.
Jason, thank you very much for the opportunity, and I look forward to joining you and your listeners again on Thursday.
You've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. WFED Washington, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTLP FM HD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.